Unit 15. Two people are interviewed about the problem of noise pollution. One is a student who lives near an airport in New York, and the other is an architect. Part 1. A student.
What's it like to live here right next to the airport anyway? Must be noisy.
It's like living in a volcano most of the time. You know, it's constant rumbling and noise, fear of planes hitting the top of your house. You know, you feel like they're so low.
So that must, it must be to the point where it's a kind of pollution. Huh?
It seems to have gotten worse over the years, and I've been living here all my life, and I don't know if the planes are bigger and noisier. Or
have you ever tried to protest that to the city?
Constantly. It doesn't seem to do any good.
They don't respond to you, huh?
No. They say things are being done about it. They're meeting standards, but it's still really bad living right in the path of jumbo jets, and they seem to be coming more frequently all the time.
Part 2. An architect.
Well, as an architect, you must have to deal with noise pollution quite a bit.
Quite a bit. Not only in the business world of the architect designing buildings for offices, in the home use, in the use of schoolhouses, the effect of traffic from the street, the effect of planes overhead, how close the buildings are to each other. Noise comes from all directions, and the architect is responsible for cushioning it, providing people with their own quiet space to make as much noise in as they want to.
Well, that's really good. What are some of the typical sources of noise pollution that you have to deal with?
Some of the bigger ones are traffic problems, air pollution sounds from planes. One of the ones that's affected people a lot has been the garbage trucks in the morning when they go by and trying to set the house, designing the house far enough off the road so that they don't hear that noise on the streets in waking them up in the morning. Other pollution, noise pollution problems are fans. You know, fluorescent lights also create sometimes. That's, so as an architect, yes, we have to take everything into consideration.
So your design must consider all those things.
Whether the windows face the street where the noise is coming from, skylights are often a good source of buffering street and horizontal sounds.
I see. Do you have to design whole environments sometimes?
Often. For special playgrounds, you would not set a playground right by a main thoroughfare. You would find a geographically quieter place. For condominiums, you would want to develop one that gave the impression of seclusion, even if it was right on the main thoroughfare.
I see.
People are very touchy about sound in their environment.
Especially if it comes, I suppose, from some alien source.
Right. If their brothers or their sisters or their sons or their daughters are making the noise, they can yell at them and say, hey, be quiet. But if a stranger is making the noise, it's real hard to approach them. And if someone you cannot even talk to, the government, you know, is making the noise, you feel helpless.
What do you suppose the effect on the human psyche is?
Well, you can probably imagine yourself if you were trying to concentrate or just think or read a book or write a letter when you had drum playing going on around you and all kinds of sounds. There's an inability to focus, to concentrate when you are always being bombarded by sound. To have a space of your own that you are in control of, to create an environment, is very important. When people are attacked, and they do feel attacked by sounds, they have no way to stop them, to offset them. That's where the architect must create a buffer between them and what they are, you know, the sound that is approaching them.